Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease, and today, Wednesday, February 12th, we have a special guest with us today, Pastor Johnny Walker from Truth Church, Yucaipa. Brother Walker, it is so good to have you on the podcast here today with us.
It's good to be here. Very good to be here.
Amen. One of the reasons I reached out to Brother Walker is Brother Walker pastors Truth Church in Yucaipa, and he's been there a few years. How long have you been there in Truth Church?
Been here since 2010. So
since 2010. How long have you been the pastor there?
4 years, right over 4 years now I've been pastor.
4 years. Now, I remember talking to you about how that all took place, and it was an interesting story in terms of the transfer and you pastoring there. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, it was 2020 in general was a crazy year, right? And my former pastor was Doug, my brother, Pastor Douglas Walker. And the transition, you know, I didn't see it coming, to be honest with you. And me and him are very, very close. And when God called him to Calgary, I didn't think I was prepared to even accept the news. And when I was talking to him, obviously him and I are very, very close. And when I was talking to him, I asked him, obviously, who would take this if you leave? And he got kind of quiet and he said, you know, Johnny, he said, I think you're the man. And him and I are very close. And I honestly thought he was joking. I honestly thought he was joking. And he wasn't. And we prayed about it and God worked it out. You know, God knows. God knows what he's doing. And it was a crazy year. We hated to lose him. But one good thing, just to add to that, one good thing is I mourned him leaving just as much as everyone in this church. And so it was a beautiful transition because we all kind of hated to see him go. But we all knew that the years that he had put in us, it was time to step up and do what he had been teaching us. So it was a beautiful thing.
Which leads to interesting discussion. So when Pastor Douglas Walker had gone and moved to Calgary, mm-hmm. he had already obviously put in a lot of things in place at the church, created a foundation for the church. But in the transition, you can kind of see God's hand on what had taken place at the church, because it's my understanding that over the past 4 years, Truth Church has actually grown quite a bit in terms of attendance and spiritually within the people in the congregation. So I remember, I think it was on Instagram. I had seen a post on Instagram. I believe it was somewhere around May of 2024. You guys had a night of worship, I believe it was called, and it was actually conducted on a football field of a local
high school football field. Yeah.
So how did you get that going?
Man, it was a stadium, and it was God. We started Bible studies in the high school, I think, in like November of the previous year.
Okay, in 2023.
In 2023, and we had won. I believe my cousin, Brother Derek Lenz, just gave a kid a church card in and out. And he showed up to church. He was on fire. He ended up getting the Holy Ghost at one of our youth events down here in SoCal. He just wants to do Bible studies and witness. So he came to us and said, I think I have an opportunity to start a Bible study in the high school. And we said, we're on board, man, let's do it. And so we went into the high school and started the Bible studies. And from there, we mentioned, what about a night of worship to the high school, the ones that were kind of overseeing the Bible study, because you got to kind of play their tricks, right?
Yeah.
And they said, we're in, let's do it. So we're thinking, you know, we'll rent the gym. And so we went down to actually, you know, see how much the gym would be, logistics. My cousin, Brother Derek Lenz, called, and he said, well, the gym, and I may have these numbers a little bit off, but the gym was like $400. the recreational hall was a little bit cheaper. He said, but the stadium's like $700. I said, well, get the stadium, right? And so when we walked out on that football field, I'll never forget the first time to actually do the walkthrough of what was about to happen. You know, I'm not an athlete by any measure. I mean, I've been on a football field, obviously, when I was in high school, but apparently I forget how big a football field is. And when I stood in there on that field that day, I thought, man, we're in over our head because we don't have a system. We don't have a sound system. And all these logistics had to come up. And so we prayed that weekend and I told the church, I said, man, I feel, let's do it. Whatever it takes, let's do it. And we had like 50, I have the number written down, so like 54 days to make it happen. And we advertised, did every day God was working a miracle. And there was over 1,500 people that showed up throughout the community. There's a lot of churches that showed up, but I would say probably about 50% was 50% of that was probably apostolics. 50% was just people from the communities all around. And I put a flyer together because they were coming from so far. And obviously, you know, if they're driving 30, 40 minutes to get to our church, they're passing three or four good apostolic churches. So I put a flyer together, it said worship in a city near you. And it had six cities on it, like in between me and like the farthest one. And they could just look at that city and find a church nearby. And man, the people showed up and we baptized 14 that night, at night of worship. And there was 50 plus that got the Holy Ghost. I forget the exact number, but there was 50 plus that got the Holy Ghost that night. It was incredible. And from,
yeah, so go ahead. You mentioned there was a couple churches involved with that, right? Mm-hmm. So like,
oh, yeah.
Brother Booker and Ray Alto was involved in yep. that, right? Mm-hmm. Who else was involved in that?
Brother Brandon Wilmoth was involved okay. in that. Brother Pat Garrett out of Calamas was involved in that. And then obviously brother, you already mentioned Brother Booker, and he has two daughter works that are closer by. And that's in San Bernardino by Brother Dylan. And then in Riverside,
Brother Brown. So rather than it just being something that was geared just to your church, these churches came and helped you out.
Oh, yeah.
But absolutely. In addition to that, the flyer, it wasn't about necessarily reaching people just for your church, but the broader view was reaching people in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah. Nowhere on the flyer did it say Truth Church bigger than any other church, right? Even on the advertisements, it was all come worship with us, you know, very, I say generic, but very, you know, pinpoint of what we wanted to do. And I think the next day, Brother Preston Brown called me. There was a family that was in his church that Sunday that got in. And there's a boy right now he's had a lot of life troubles. His mom just passed away, but he got the Holy Ghost in that. That night he got the Holy Ghost. Brother Joel Booker prayed him through the Holy Ghost that night. And
so what led to this event was Brother Lentz giving somebody a church card. And from a church card being handed out at In-N-Out, opened up Bible studies, and from Bible studies, a night of worship with six churches coming together. 50 individuals getting the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. And 14 right there on site being baptized on the football field.
Yep, absolutely. And I told this story one time and I should have thought through it more just now when I told it, but I did it backwards where I told about how big the event was and I worked it all the way back to, it was just one card.
One card.
That's all it was, just one little church card handed to one guy, one individual that got on fire. And, you know, last year we baptized 91 people in Yucaipa. And I would go all the way back to that card and say, you know, that was the spark. That was what happened was, you know.
Well, so a lot of times when people hear, you know, 91 people baptized, they look at that from the standpoint of, well, yeah, you know, larger churches can baptize 91. What is the size of your church, or what was the size of the church? And what was your average attendance last year?
Last year, I'd say at the beginning of the year, it was about you know, on a Sunday is about 80 people, you know, and then on any given Sunday, there can be 140, 150 there now.
Yeah. And so we're talking about a church at the beginning of last year, 80 people, mm-hmm. and baptized 90 people. Mm-hmm. And so these larger revivals we hear about, it's not just for the big churches. God has a revival for every church that's willing to go there. Absolutely. and just be friendly to the community, hand out cards, find ways to do things. And so I know, because you've had me down there, I think once or twice, it's not just big events for you guys. You follow up these big events with, I think it's kind of like a two-pronged approach, right? So you have leadership development takes place on a particular night. And then in culmination with leadership development, you have discipleship classes going on, right?
Yes.
And so can you tell us a little bit about how you use those two to grow the church?
Yeah. So on the follow-up part, that Saturday after the, let me back up to that. And that Saturday after the night of worship, I think if I remember correctly, every church that was involved sent a couple people to Brother Joel Booker's church in Rialto. And they called every contact we had, because we did a raffle and we got all of their contacts. They called every contact, and it was incredible. So we had all them, you know, contacts. We've kept up with them. There's some that come, you know, maybe special events, but they still, you know, they're still connected some way, you know. And to move into the, we call it New Life class now, but it's a lot of Brother Crawford Coon's material. I think it was Christian Development and
the Blue Book.
Yes. And, we use that. That is actually something that Pastor Douglas Walker put in effect, years ago. I forget how long we've been doing that. And there's a great man in our church, Brother Cartwright, and Brother Boatman helps him, but they do that every Sunday morning. And the amount of graduations we see coming out of that, it's like, you know, and it's, we do it intense. You know what I'm saying? It's, we, you know, I mean, we break it up to where there's three parts to it, to where there's, you know, a kind of a basics, and then it gets deeper as you go. And you see starts, you know, some people getting their first certificate, and then they're continuing on in it. And, you know, and now we're developing some more stuff, because obviously there's a lot of great material out there, a lot of great material. And for our leadership, like in, I'll back up here and say, you know, that scripture really rings in this revival. I use it all the time, but Paul said, you know, he said, I planted, Paulus watered, but God gave the increase. And I would say a lot when we start talking about leadership, you know, I have to back up and say, you know, Pastor Douglas Walker really, really did a lot. And the 10 years that I was with him, you know, I told someone the other day that I was his worst convert at times, but I was his best convert. And and I say that both sides in a good way, because, you know, my life was a mess when, you know, I had my own problems when I came to Yucaipa. And that man worked with me, discipled me, and through that, he's discipled all of this church and the leadership here. And to continue that, you know, obviously that was one of my fears when he went to Calgary, was how do I lead people that Pastor Douglas Walker led? There's a question. And, you know, there's all kinds of resources out there to glean from and help. You came actually and did one of our leadership, you know, I do it on Thursday night or Monday night, depending on when I can get, you know, people. If I have a man here on Sunday, a lot of times I'll ask him to stay over for Monday night to do our leadership. But, you know, I've had a lot of men through. I've taught, you know, a lot of them, but I try to use, you know, other voices and stuff. We just started at the beginning of this year, every Sunday morning. So our Sunday mornings consist of 10 o'clock. We have youth class, our New Life class, which is the one I was talking about. And now I'm teaching a Deeper Life, which consists, you know, it's from 10 to about 10:30, 10:45. And then we go into a joint service at 11 o'clock. So okay. I started at the beginning of the year, and I'm already seeing like that Deeper Life class. I'm already seeing like it grow. and people getting involved. And it's just incredible to have a place where these new converts can fall in and start learning, you know, and developing. But that's what we're doing with leadership. Obviously, you know, a lot of it, I can grow in any way I can. I tell everyone that. I don't put things out there if you don't want me to take them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody around me knows that. If you're being very, if you want to keep your stuff, then keep it. But don't put it out there because I'll use it. If it's good, I'll use it. I'll use anything I can to grow people.
I remember hearing one gentleman talk about R&D, and his version of R&D wasn't research and development. It was rip off and distribute. And so if something good was out there, he'd rip it off and distribute it to his people. And he said, I expect you to do the same stuff with anything I put out there. But yeah, no, it's great to have a lot of good apostolic content that you can grab a hold of and do things. And so you have big events. So when we look at church growth for UKIPA, you have big events like the Night of Worship in May. You have leadership development, you have discipleship going on, but it's my understanding that up until right now, you've had 22 baptized just this year.
Just this year, yeah.
And so talk a little bit about that. Is that something that is organic? There's people inviting their friends to church, and they're coming, and they're hearing the gospel, and so how's that going?
Yeah, it's crazy is a lot. You know, we've had people walk in that nobody's invited. And it's like, how did you hear about us? Well, I was just walking down the street, you know, and looked at this church and pulled up, you know. And we did a outreach event, and I have a man that came off the streets a couple years ago. He lived on the streets. I used to take him home to a tent. It was a sad situation. And we finally got him into a place, and God healed him of addictions. And that's a whole nother story that's just incredible. And he gets this in his heart to go down into the wash and tell homeless about Jesus. And I'm like, I ain't got nothing better to do. Let's do it, right? Well, he takes me to San Bernardino, which is right by Brother Dylan's church. And so I said, well, let me call Brother Dylan. We were like a block away from Brother Dylan's church. So Brother Dylan got involved with it. And there was a lady that we witnessed to in that park that the next day she walked in and got the Holy Ghost at Brother Dylan's church. And I haven't heard, that was only a couple weeks ago. And so there's a lot of that to where you just make connections. But the main thing I think is we got into Salvation Army, and we're doing a Bible study every week in the Salvation Army. And so they had two Bible studies going on, one with their chaplain and one with the man that's overseeing it from our church. And finally, you know, they got like 100 and 110 guys in that facility. And he had like 20 at first, and then it went up to 30, then it went up 40, 50, 60 were in his Bible study. And the chaplain's like, hey, we got to equal this out. You know what I'm saying? So he came to me. I was like, well, you know, play the game, man. You know what I'm saying? Change it to another night or something. Finally, they came and said, look, we're going to change his to another night. The chaplains, we don't want you to leave.
They didn't change hers. They changed his.
They changed his. Yeah. So the chaplain for them, they just changed their night. And so they That's all awesome. Came over to, you know, Brother Carl Britt's the guy that does it, but Brother Carl Britt, that came over to his Bible study. And so obviously that's a whole nother, property you got to go in to figure out, right? And so there's been a lot of problems there and stuff, like with Salvation Army, I get it. But from there, they released them to start coming to Sunday night services. And so we send a bus down to Salvation Army. And it was last year, I think around September maybe, that we were having some problems with, you know, logistics with Salvation Army. I don't know if we were stepping on their toes too much. I won't say much here, but, but I told Brother Carl, I said, look, I need to get a hold of Brother Pizarro. And Brother Pizarro came down and he presented Saved and Sober. So I think it was February 3rd this month was our first Saved and Sober meeting. So a lot of that, you know, the baptisms last year were guys coming on Sunday nights, but now we're seeing them graduate or get out of Salvation Army. And now we've already seen them start coming to the Saved and Sober, but now they're starting to get their own places. They're starting to come to discipleship classes. So it's all turned. So yeah, we baptized 22 this year already. But you know, one thing is, you know, let me tell the testimony here that, that I want. I tell, it's just on my heart. I'm so overwhelmed at God, because you know, you're trying the best you can. You're just doing what you can and witnessing. If it's a night of worship, it's a night of worship. If it's a single Bible study at Starbucks, it's a single Bible. It's the work of the Lord, right? And my father has been backslid for 35 years. And it's obviously a prayer I pray every day, that God would restore him. And Sunday, you know, I was opening service. I had a scripture I was going to read at the opening at our 11 o'clock joint service. And I'm about to read a scripture, and my dad walks in the back of the church. And he comes special occasions. He comes, you know, if there's a baby dedication, one of the kids are getting dedicated, he'll come. He's very, he's a very good man. And he walked in, and something checked me and said, "This is different. This is different." And I didn't even read the scripture I was supposed to read. I was so, like, just baffled that he walked in. And he prayed back through to the Holy Ghost Sunday night. After 35 years, I was actually baptizing someone and looked through the crowd, and his hands were up, crying and praying back through. And man, pray for him. God's doing a great work. I talked to him yesterday, and he's excited. You know, his what he said was, "It's good to be back. It's good to be back." But you know, you're just working, and I'll be honest, you lose faith after 35 years of praying for someone. You wonder, will it ever happen, you know?
Yeah.
And when your hands are dirty, working for God, and you're just trying your best you can, God does the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's awesome. I'm so excited for that. I was trying to find a quote that I believe it was J.T. Pugh talking about revival. And he said a lot of people miss revival because it's spelled W-O-R-K. And based on all the stuff you're talking about in terms of the night of worship, based on developing leaders, developing discipleship programs, getting into the Salvation Army, all of these things, revivals happening in Yucaipa, one, because God's leading, but also because there are willing people in that area that are ready to put in the work to see God's to see what God has in store come to pass. Man, that is so exciting. Thank you for joining me today on all things apostolic. It's always good to catch up with a good friend and see what God's doing down there in LA. Continue to pray for you guys down there with all the crazy stuff going on, man. May God continue to have revival. And man, I'm excited about what happened with your dad.
Yeah. So thank you so much for hearing it out and having me on. It was an honor, very big honor.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for joining us today on this episode of All Things Apostolic. I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.